Welcome back, everyone. I'm Louis Vargas, and you're listening to episode 39 of the Art Scene Podcast. Today's guest is Karen Vidangos, creator of the blog Latina Museums and the Instagram project Latinx Curated, both of which explore slash highlights an underrepresented perspective in the museum field. But before I play our conversation, let me plug a few events happening here in the Bay Area. First, over at Part 2 Gallery in Oakland, a solo exhibition titled Pushing Up Daisies is up right now, featuring new work by former guest of the podcast, Lena Gustafson. The exhibition closes after June 7th, so check it out soon. Then over at the Museum of African Diaspora, a new exhibition just opened titled Coffee, Rum, Sugar, and Gold, A Post-Colonial Paradox. The exhibition looks at the legacy of European colonialism in the Caribbean through the work of 10 contemporary artists. The show runs through the summer, so if you're visiting the Bay Area during that time, be sure to support the museum and pop in for a visit. Lastly, our friends over at Bass & Rayner Gallery also has a new exhibition up titled Sirens, Silencers, Mufflers, and Mutes, featuring new work by another former guest of the podcast, Whitney Lynn. They'll have an opening reception tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. at their location at the Minnesota Street Project. All right, now as I mentioned before, my guest today is Karen Vidangos, and sit down to discuss the work she does with her blog and as a museum professional at the National Portrait Gallery. Now, here's our conversation. I want to start by saying thanks for coming on. I know we mentioned earlier about how we've been, for the last couple of years now, we've been emailing back and forth about the possibility of doing this, and I've been glad to like be in the DC area and able to do it.
I'm glad that you can come to DC and explore DC, but also thanks for having me on.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so I've been following you for a while now, and it's funny because I think I kind of remember how I even heard of you, but I think it was just through Twitter, and someone I followed retweeted something that you had posted, and I saw that you had put a link to the old version of your website, because it's a little bit more upgraded now.
Yeah.
And I think you had a post about just a lot of your experience of work, like going to being in grad school, like mm-hmm. and then just kind of wanting to be in the museum, be a museum professional. And I was I have a lot of these same experiences. and I think after that, I was like, I got to talk to this person, because a lot of what I want to do with this podcast is kind of highlight like different people from different backgrounds, like doing different things in the art world.
Yeah. And the podcast version.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like, you know, it's a collective thing. It's not just me and my blog and you and your podcast.
Right.
I mean, I think it's really great as a collective to really have all of these stories and all of these perspectives just out there.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to be a part of this. This is really exciting for me. Just be part of it. Part of the bigger narrative of what Latinx can do.
And we're going to talk more about, because in your revamp version of your blog, that you talk about community is that you mm-hmm. expanded it more into about the community.
Yeah.
But one of the things I love starting with my guests is asking where they grew up, what town are they from, that kind of stuff. So like, you're originally from the DC area, right?
Yeah. So we call it the DMV.
That's right.
DC, Maryland, Virginia. And right. I'm truly of the DMV. I was born in Arlington, Virginia. Grew up in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and went to school here in D.C. and worked in the Smithsonian on and off for a little bit. So it's been this way my whole life. haven't gotten out of it yet.
And so, like, when you were growing up, I wonder if it's because you grew up in the DMV that you were kind of always exposed to museums. Was that always an influential part in your life to, like, want to be a museum professional?
Interestingly enough, you would think so. DC has got this great hub of museums, the Smithsonian, of course, and then the NGA, the Phillips. I mean, there's just so many free museums at that.
Right.
But when I was younger, you know, middle school, high school, I actually didn't really come and visit the museums that often. I actually didn't at all. I didn't visit my first museum, art museum, until I was in college. And that was really my first real experience of seeing that environment,
right,
and understanding that, yeah, I this is what I want. This is where I need to be. But it took me a while to get there. It took me a while to see that all of this opportunity was right here,
yeah,
you know, right next door.
And before your first museum visit, what was it the kind of the plan, I guess? Like, in obviously college, right, was like as most people in this country,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. My parents came here from Bolivia. They immigrated here in the late 80s. But I think like a lot of parents who have come here, immigrated here, they knew that college was the path. I had to go to college. What that looked like was a little bit fuzzy, but they knew it had to be either a lawyer or a doctor or yeah. one of those career paths.
Right.
So I actually, when I went to University of Maryland for my undergrad, I went in with a major of government and politics.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Did not last.
Yeah. Did you just not like it?
I like it. I do. I still love government and politics. It's a little harder to love now.
Yeah.
But I still do love it, but I knew that I couldn't do it for a career.
Okay.
After the first year, I was like, no, this is not for me.
Yeah.
It didn't last very long until I kind of rerouted to art.
Yeah, and so one of the things, if you don't mind talking about mm-hmm. it, but and one of the stories, there was a piece that you wrote, I think it was called For a Women's Thing, I believe it was like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
in it, you basically talked about the struggle that you kind of had of going to school, then having to pause, and then, so tell me a little bit more about that experience, there was a moment in my life where I was like the same way. My mother had immigrated to this country. My parents never went to college, and they were like, you're going to college, you're like yeah. going to do this. And then there was like a moment where something happened with my family that was like, should I quit? Should I not quit school? And it was yeah. like hard, and I kept it. I decided to stay, but it was yeah. still a struggle.
Yeah, no, my undergrad, I was in my third year when the recession hit actually, and then I dropped out. And I left school and I thought I was done. I said, this is not for me, this isn't working out. I had no real direction. I didn't really know what I was doing. My parents did the best that they could to guide me, but it was limited. And I didn't really find anyone around me in the university campus that could help. I guess in the way that I needed at the time. And it was confusing growing up, I guess. You know, I lived in the suburbs. I was the only, we were the only Latino family in the neighborhood. But that was that way my whole life.
Yeah.
That's what I was used to.
Right. It's the norm.
Exactly. Yeah. So all of those moments that you have, that you interact with people that might be a snub, or they look at you a little differently or treat you a little differently, you know, all those things that are just under the layer, you know, I felt that. But because I was so used to that environment my whole life, I didn't really acknowledge it. I was not too aware. I just knew that, oh, this feels weird, or this conversation doesn't feel right. I guess I just got used to it.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the way, you know, when I went back to college, when I went to grad school, then I kind of found the language to articulate what was happening. And
right.
that's when I really started getting into really looking at that environment.
Sure.
And seeing how it affected me growing up, how it affects other people of color, how it affects their opportunities, how they move around in life,
yeah.
In these environments. And I really recognized that it was harmful, I guess. To myself, and really kind of pushed my culture to the wayside.
It's funny because I grew up in the suburbs too, but you know, San Diego County is so big,
mm-hmm.
but the city itself is pretty, you know, the whole county is pretty diverse, but there's pockets of suburbs in the county that are predominantly white,
mm-hmm.
and predominantly affluent, and
yeah.
My mother, who's like one of 10 kids, all of my cousins, my millions of cousins and aunts and uncles lived in the city of San Diego, many of them not like the best neighborhoods. And we were the only ones that my parents were adamant about, like, we're living in the suburbs.
Right. Yeah.
And it did feel a bit like that, because we were always seen as like the uppity family compared to the other aunts, which is
right,
funny because
right.
we weren't wealthy.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
It's not like we were living in the fanciest neighborhood or
exactly.
anything like that.
Yeah. My parents still struggled. You know, growing up, I wasn't paying attention to it. You know,
right.
when you're younger, you don't pay attention to these things.
Right.
I just knew that we lived in a home in this neighborhood. We certainly weren't wealthy. You know, there's a lot of toys I didn't get.
Right.
but yet, you know, in retrospect, I see now that my parents, like, they really did. They worked hard to get that house,
right.
You know, to afford these things as much as they possibly could.
Right. To even keep it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a sacrifice.
Yeah.
They made a very big sacrifice.
So when you decided to go back to school, did you end up going back to the same school, to Maryland, to finish up?
I did.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so it was a little... So I did 3 years at University of Maryland, dropped out for a few years. And when I went back, I wasn't entirely sure I went back.
Yeah.
So I kind of did a few baby steps, and I went to Montgomery College, the community college there, to just get a little taste and see if maybe I wanted to go back.
Yeah.
I still wasn't even sure.
So even overall, like, you weren't even sure if you wanted to continue having a college education.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. I think it was just in the back of my mind. You know, I was doing jobs here and there, and there was a few people around me who were finishing their college education or getting their master's degree, and, you know, I couldn't help but think, like, am I a statistic? And that bothered me. And I know, you know, college is not everything.
Right.
Not to throw my sister out there, but my younger sister is a perfect example that having a college degree is not everything. She does not have a college degree. She's incredibly successful. I mean,
right.
She makes more money than me.
Yeah. I definitely have friends like that where, like, no college degree and they're making six figures,
exactly.
Like, doing random stuff.
But she's doing fantastic.
Right.
And she's a brilliant, brilliant person, and I admire her for that. I think for me personally, though, there was just something gnawing at me. I felt like a statistic.
Yeah.
I felt judged. Maybe that was just me, but it's just a perception. And so I just decided, let me just go back to community college. I left with an interest in art, so let me just pick that up and kind of see where that takes me.
Sure.
And after that, I realized I need to go back and finish my bachelor's degree. I have to do this. This is what I want to do.
What did you end up getting the degree in, ultimately?
My bachelor's?
Yeah.
Art history.
Art history.
Yeah.
Any specific area you were, like, really nerdy about?
Modern and contemporary art.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Most people say, like, something like French art from the
1700s. The 17th century yeah. Dutch and Flemish art. No, modern and contemporary art.
Yeah.
Which is exactly where my path has sort of followed.
Right.
But yeah, no, it ended up being a perfect decision to go back for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then when you got this degree at this point, right, now, like, all right, so art history, you knew that's what you liked.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the area that you're interested in having a career in. Was still at that point, museums was like, what I want to do with this is I want to now get into the museum field. Or was it still a little bit unsurety of what to do with this?
That was the next step, right? Figuring
yeah.
out that next step. No, I had no idea still. I'm just lost. So I was fortunate enough to have this professor at the University of Maryland when I went back.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with her because I knew I wanted to do this bachelor in art history, but I didn't know exactly what that meant. What did that look like after I graduate?
Yeah.
And so we had a conversation, and I just came prepared with a lot of questions. And she really, truly helped guide me in the direction that I should go in. And she's the one who suggested going to grad school. And a lot of credit goes to her to help jumpstart what would be now my career.
Do you still keep in touch with her?
I do. Yeah.
I have, like, a similar story like that. You know, I think recently you did you posted a tweet or responded to a tweet about, like, what were your five jobs before your current one, right?
Yeah.
And I laughed because I was like, when I graduated from school, there was the recession. Nobody was hiring. I had this, like, I was a history major and an art minor. Like, and I did photography, was like, I wanted to be an artist and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And then it was like not happening. And it was like, no, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
Parents were like, you got to have a job. Right. The pressure of, like, why did we go to the spell's money to go to college and you're not going to even, like, get a job. You're not going to be a lawyer. You're not going to be any of this thing. Like, all that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, I worked at a pizzeria. It was like an executive assistant in a parent relations office at a university. And
yeah.
like, none of this related. But I remember reconnecting with an art professor. And they were like, you should just go to grad school. Like, you like this. Go to grad school.
It takes one.
Yeah.
Just one professor. You
yeah.
know, I think if more, you know, and again, I understand that at the university level, professors are also getting the shaft, right?
Right.
But, you know, it again, like, she saw the interest there, and she was so open and willing to help, and she understood the situation that, you know, at the time I was a visual merchandiser for H&M.
Oh, wow.
And didn't really know what I was doing. I told her my story, basically.
Right.
And she said, you know what, like, I am your resource. I am here to help you. Like, tell me when you can meet me. We will discuss this. We will go through the options. And we did. And I mean, I don't know if I would have figured out my way on my own eventually.
Yeah.
But she was definitely a very key piece of guiding me.
Yeah. Well, and she helped expedite the process, right?
Absolutely.
Right? Like, who knows how much longer it would have taken for you to be like, oh, you know what?
To finally get there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And so then what school did you end up getting into for grad school?
George Washington University.
What appealed to you about that school?
The network.
Oh, right. Other than it's George Washington University.
DC is all about the network. So I didn't apply to too many schools. GW was one of them. George Mason University. I think those were the only two, actually.
And were you adamant about staying close to home?
Yeah, that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't, given that I'm still here, I'm obviously still not ready to leave. I love this place. Yeah, no, I did want to stay close to home. I was still taking baby steps, I think, when I was searching for schools. And actually, the professor is the one who suggested George Washington. I was thinking about Georgetown, too, actually.
Oh,
I was thinking about it. I didn't apply. I really wanted to go to Georgetown. But she swayed me in a different direction. And it was a good choice.
What kind of program was it that persuaded you?
Museum studies.
It was just a straight up museum studies.
Yeah, and I was waitlisted.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I was waitlisted for the program.
Wow.
Yeah. So then I sent them a letter, a separate email of all the reasons why they should bring me in, which they did.
Well, it's great. Like, right. Well, I mean, most of the time that's the name of the game, right? It's like most of it is like learning to advocate and like for yourself and like really push it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if my email worked. If that was the pushing point of like, oh, this girl.
But you know what? For the story, we're just gonna say yes, it did. Yes, it did.
But you know what? They made a very good choice.
Right. Exactly. So all right. So now you're in grad school. Mm-hmm. I got to end up getting a museum studies degree as well. But I got it mine in San Francisco.
Okay.
But so for me, I wanted to be a curator. And I'm obviously not a curator today. But like, so I'm interested to see now with this museum studies, this potential museum studies degree, what did you then go in thinking you wanted to do with that?
Well, it'll surprise you to know I didn't know.
Well, and by the way, and this is like really, I think this is really cool that you're saying you're honest about this, because I think that's the case for a lot of people, right?
Yeah, like, and I don't want to bullshit. You know, like there's no point. It doesn't help anyone. You know, the whole point of what I'm attempting to do with my blog, with my social media presence, is really to show what my journey is like, and that is part of my journey, that every single step of the way I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe there's other people who really kind of where it clicked a lot faster for them, and that's awesome, that is amazing. For whatever reason, maybe I'm walking around with my eyes closed, but it just didn't click as quickly for me each step of the way.
Right.
Every single step of the way was a journey, something new to learn, you know, and I'm more than happy to take all those lessons. I also think that for everything that I've learned, if someone else can hear that and have a quicker process of figuring it out for themselves, or have a resource, you know, then I'm happy to share my confusion so that someone else is less confused.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. It was the blog also around this time that you started? It was during grad school that you started?
During grad school, yeah.
And what motivated you to do that?
So I started taking a few different courses. Museum studies programs are kind of a very generalized kind of overall.
Yeah.
So I started taking some classes on fundraising, communications, a little bit of curatorial, that sort of thing, and getting into all of these case studies of museums, good things, bad things,
right,
ugly things. And I started realizing, as I'm doing research, as I'm looking at these case studies, that there's just something that's starting to connect in all of this, and that's the demographics that are incredibly skewed towards one majority. Combined with the social media class that I started to do, I kind of put the two and two together. All of this research, all this, you know, ability to talk about it for free online.
Yeah.
And sort of that's how the blog kind of came up. But I think I had to sort of go through all of the research on my own and really kind of parse through what was being said, the data for all these different studies, and really, one, understand what these papers are saying, but then two, how I fit into all of that.
Right.
And I started realizing that, you know, my whole life I've kind of set myself apart from everything that's happening, when really it's happening to me. I'm in this environment. I'm the one being affected.
Yeah.
My community's being affected. I can't just watch it happen, you know, and allow these things to affect me, even subconsciously. And so, and part of that might also be with age, is a little bit older, a little bit more mature, a little bit wiser. But it started to affect me differently. And I started seeing things differently, thinking differently. And so that's when I started really thinking through it and saying, well, this kind of, this bothers me. So what are you going to do with that? You know, are you just going to let it bother you?
Right.
Or are you going to be part of the conversation that many have already been a part of before me, and try to bring awareness and correct this mistake?
And what were you thinking? I mean, it's ambitious. Like I'm going to fix this.
Change the world.
Yeah. And then with the blog, you know, what were you thinking with that first? Was it just like just writing about what you're seeing, your observations?
Yeah.
Did it just start out that way? Because today the iteration is a little bit more expansive than that, right?
And
so at that time, was that's all you saw? Was like, at first, I just have to get it out there, like what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it was sort of just digesting the information, is what it was. You know, I was learning a lot of new things, and really kind of digging deep into what was going on in the museum field.
Right.
And I had to really come to terms with all of that and really kind of settle into that information.
Right.
So, yeah, a lot of it was like a diary for me. You know, you're right. I had to get it out.
Yeah.
I just had to write about it. I had to do something with this information. I couldn't just read this research, observe what's happening around me when I step into the museum world, into these museums, and do nothing. So I started writing here and there, tweeting here and there, until it became a little more cohesive and into a project that I kind of wanted to expand and build on.
And the website, which is called At Latina Museums, which is now, I think it's now, the brand is now Latinx Curated, right? But the website name is still Latina Museums,
Latina Museums I kept, because I still would like that to reflect my perspective, because I'm not at the top of my game. I'm still learning a lot. There's still a lot that I have yet to experience in the museum field, and so I would still like to reflect on that perspective of mine. And kind of parse through a lot of this. But the Instagram, Latinx Curated, was something that I wanted to be of the community and collaborative. And that was changed because it's not just Latinas that are underrepresented, but it's Latinx. It's the whole community that's underrepresented in the museum field. And so I wanted to see them in the space. I wanted to see them represented. You know, despite what the statistics say, we love art.
Right.
We love cultural institutions as much as the next person. And so that space is to show us in that environment.
Yeah. All right. So now you got the blog going. You're in grad school now.
Yeah.
By the time, how long was the program? Was it like a 1 year, 2 year program?
2 years.
2 years. Mm-hmm. And by the time you were done, did you finally, and now you've taken all the classes, you even started a blog about it, and now, have you now at this point even figured out still what you wanted to
do? Now I know what I'm doing.
Now,
at this point, I know what I'm doing. Yes, finally, I got there.
Yeah, I
think it was really the blog and social media that kind of shifted my path. I knew I wanted to be in the communications field, and that was narrowed with social media.
Right.
And from then on, it's just kind of been a focus on social media and how I can strengthen that audience engagement and really bring in communities that are really not spoken to,
sure.
that are really not, you know, reached out to.
And why did you decide to attack that problem through that end? Because many people will argue maybe it's having more diverse curators to
yeah.
then collect
yeah.
more diversely that yeah. will bring in the audience. Like some people say it's the education programming, and some people say
yeah.
it's the marketing. Some people say it's like location of the museums that you built. What made you go attack through the, why did you wanted to go through the marketing and route?
Well, everything of what you said is true.
Right.
We need all of those
right.
to be more inclusive. You know, we need Black and Brown curators. Absolutely. We need education programs that are led by Black and Brown educators.
Right.
For me, I'm not an educator.
Yeah.
I'm not a curator. I found that this is my strength. And that's simply what it is. It's just sort of narrowing. And that's where the Museum Studies program really helped, because you did a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And I simply realized that this is where my strength lies. And if I want to be part of the solution to this problem,
sure.
I need to go with my strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so one of the interesting things about, at least what I've come across from people I've met that are in the marketing field at museums, is most mm-hmm. of the times, people like to hire actual like people who are marketing majors, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
then just happen to be interested in working at a museum, and that's what they get sometimes.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I have you and someone else that I know that went to grad school are the only two people I know who went museum studies and then right into that,
yeah.
into that field.
Yeah.
Do you think that makes a difference in terms of like the ability to be better at marketing for museums, like having the museum studies background versus somebody who like career marketing person,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
doesn't have that diverse education that you're talking about, like where you took all these different classes at a museum studies program about everything?
I think it worked out for me, but that is something that I realized also in
yeah.
my particular department, that a lot of people have a combination of art history and a communications background. And there were many times actually during grad school where I was thinking, oh, did I pick the wrong Did I pick the wrong thing?
Right.
Should I have gotten a master's in communications or public relations? And that is certainly helpful. If you want to go into communications, if you want to go in that direction of public affairs, you should probably get a background in public affairs. But I went in through social media, which is usually under communications. And that is a little more diverse, I think. The people who enter social media, they tend to have a diverse background, but just a very like significant interest in digital engagement.
Sure.
Yeah. So that just happened to be me.
Do you feel better prepared, at least for on your end, like being in that field and like but having the museum studies background?
Better prepared. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like, do you think it wouldn't have made a difference if you got that marketing, like a master's in communication or something, or a marketing degree?
I mean, it could go either way. I think that if you had a background in public affairs or communications or marketing, those skills in that department certainly are strong.
Sure.
Yeah. But I think that I have been helpful in that I have a more well-rounded view of the museum itself, of the building and the function and all the pieces that make it work. And that has been incredibly helpful quite a few times. That is not a perspective everyone has, because they don't have that that background.
Sure.
So it's helped me on quite a few occasions.
All right, so you're done with grad school. What's your first job getting out of grad school?
My first job out of grad school was a communications coordinator at Glenstone.
Okay. And talk a little bit about what is Glenstone, because they just did like a whole expansion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So they just opened their expansion last fall, I believe, and they are this incredible Contemporary Art Museum in Potomac, Maryland, not too far from where I grew up. 230 acres, it's beautiful. And I was lucky enough to start their social media. They didn't do social media before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was an incredible, exciting journey that I was there. And I was only there for about a year, but it was amazing.
And what was it? Was it just mostly focused on the, like, launching the expansion and, like, getting them, like, get more of, like, a social media presence?
Yeah, yeah. It was gearing up towards this big expansion. They were fairly quiet before, and this expansion sought to change that and to really broaden their reach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with something like that, which is your first job, and everything that you've been doing with the blog, I mean, they probably knew when they hired you about the blog, I would assume.
Oh, I told them about it.
Yeah. So, like, was that something that they were like, yeah, like, we'd love to have you on there. Like, this is great. Like, was it on their agenda, like, to broaden and diversify their audience? That, like, were they really hoping for that when they hired you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was kind of a, they were casting a wide net, I think. And particularly because they were so quiet before.
Yeah.
That this was just sort of, like, opening the doors, like, just kind of busting them open and saying, everyone screaming from the mountaintops, like, you know, we're here, we're incredible, come visit us. So when they were looking for their social, I think it was sort of the same thing. They really just wanted everyone to know, local, national, international, you know, that we are this incredible museum.
Yeah.
Come visit us.
And so then you said you were only there for a year. What made you then go on to, because now you're at the National Portrait Gallery, which is awesome, which is the Smithsonian.
And
by the way, at the worst time, because I think it was during the shutdown, I saw you, like, tweeting a lot about it, Instagramming a lot about that it just so happened to coincide with the shutdown, like, just when you got this new job.
Yeah, the timing was flawless, as it always is.
Yeah.
The Portrait Gallery just came knocking, and I just couldn't say no. The Smithsonian was the first internship that I had. It's just, the Smithsonian holds a special place in my heart.
Sure.
So when they came calling, I just couldn't say no.
Right.
And so I'm here now, and it's so far, it hasn't been that long, about 4 months in now, and it's incredible. Very happy.
So, like, tell me about the basics of, like, so you're now the PR person, right? Is that what is your official title, I guess, I should ask you?
Public affairs specialist.
And so in that job, what's the general idea of what you do? Like,
essentially, I help the museum get attention and outreach of all their programs, events, exhibitions through the media.
Okay. And you mentioned they came knocking on your door. What was it that made them knock on your door? What was it? Was it the work at the Glenstone? Was it a combination of the stuff you're doing on the side with the blog? And, like, what was it that appealed to them that they were like, we got to have you on our team?
I think it was a little bit of all of that. They were aware of who I was.
Right.
You know, the museum field is such a small world.
Sure.
So we all kind of know each other, especially in D.C. You know, we work so closely together and collaborate. So we all kind of knew each other. So they were aware of who I was and what I did. They knew about the blog. They knew the work that I was doing at Glenstone. And I think it was just that combination. Portrait Gallery does an incredible job, I think, at really being aware and active in all of the different communities in this area.
Sure.
You know, and it definitely shows, you know, they've proposed to make the entire building bilingual and all the labels. They're not 100% done yet, but they're working on it. If you walk around the museum, you'll see bilingual labels everywhere.
Yeah.
That's incredibly important to them.
Yeah.
Including all of the, on the press side, we do bilingual press releases. You know, they're really in tune with the community. And of course, not just the Latinx community, but the Asian American community, the Black community. They've made an effort to really be a part of the community, and it shows, I think. And so that's what attracted me to the Portrait Gallery.
So for you, do you have any plans in mind or ideas that you're like, or goals, I guess, as in this position that you hope to accomplish? Like,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah. Well, I think in my role, you know, I reach audiences through the media.
Right.
And so for me, it's reaching out and making relationships, building relationships with all of the media outlets that reflect the community. El Tiempo Latino.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Latinx media, you've got the Asian American media. You know, you have these little pockets that are not, you know, the part of the mainstream.
Right.
That also want to write about these stories, that want to be included as part of the, you know, part of what's going on in the community and report on that. And so I want to reach out to those journalists, writers, editors, and really connect with them and say, you know, like, how can we collaborate? How can we work together?
And as for the blog, I wanted to ask you, what are your, I mean, your goals for the blog, like long term? Like, what are you hoping that turns into?
Oh, the blog.
Because I have a feeling, because I kind of go through this with my podcast, but like, because I have a 9-to-5 job,
but
like sometimes there's slow months, right? And I did notice there's like, you know, once in a while.
There has been lulls, for sure there's been lulls. I think about it every single day, though. Every single day, I'm like, I should be writing. One of my goals is I do want to write more consistently. It is very difficult to keep up. But I would like to make that more consistent, really build that up. There's a few other ideas in the works for the future. We'll see how that functions with the rest of the blog itself. I would like to grow Latinx Curated. I really want to build that and make that a stronger outlet. I really want that to kind of stand out actually more than the Latino Museums blog. I feel like the blog is kind of my diary, right? And I'm happy that it connects with people. I am. But I understand that it also still just, it just reflects my perspective and it's my opinion.
Right.
Not everyone shares it. So really the Latinx Curated, the Instagram, is where I really want to grow, because I really want that to be of the community. That's not mine. You know, in a way. It's not for me. It's not about me. It's about the community, and I kind of want the community to take ownership of it. And I want everyone outside of the community and in the museum field to see this and say, this is a community that matters.
And then that aside, like, what do you kind of see yourself doing career-wise in like 10 years from now?
10 years.
I mean, it's a big deal that you're already working at the Smithsonian. Like you mentioned, it's the Smithsonian. They came knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Why would you say no to the Smithsonian?
Yeah.
I mean, what's further than that?
I mean, I try not to plan out that far in ahead. Things change in a dime.
Sure.
All the time. I think for me, one of my goals is probably just to experience a museum outside of the DMV. I would like to move.
Yeah.
One day.
Do you think you stay on the East Coast?
Oh, because you're a West Coaster.
I am. Not that I hate the East Coast. Although in my experience, the East Coast hates more on the West than the West hates on the East.
True?
Very true.
East Coast, West Coast.
But I love the East Coast. I love coming out.
I love the East Coast too. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the West Coast. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'd probably stay on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the East Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, I would want to experience a different museum outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, I think even just the act of moving, that's not something I've ever done. So that would be a new challenge for myself that I would like to do.
Yeah, it seems like you like the challenge, like the challenge part of like of the job.
Yeah.
Going from the Glenstone into the Smithsonian,
it's
which
scary.
Are two different types of places.
Yeah. And definitely when I was headed to Portrait Gallery, I told my friends, like, oh, they're going to fire me immediately. They're like,
why?
You haven't even started. I'm just nervous.
Yeah.
And it's the constant fear of failure. That could be an environmental thing. That could be a Karen thing.
Yeah.
Or a mixture of both. Yeah. I don't know. But regardless, I go through anyways and jump head in first, which is what I did, and come to find out I love what I do and it's not so bad. But I would like to continue challenging myself. I'd like to be stronger at the skills I already have. I'd like to learn more skills in the field of communications. I'd like to strengthen my social media. There's just incredible people that I'm surrounded by that are incredible at social media and digital communications, and I would like to be on their level.
Yeah.
But,
So, like, you know, you're lucky in that, like, I think you're in a field that's communications and marketing, which is very in line with having this blog and the Lanex curated brand, where it is all like it's all connected, right?
Yeah.
It's all in the same field. So like you working on this is only really helping you just like develop more skills for your day job, right?
Absolutely.
Basically, and your career.
Yeah.
I always am interested with somebody who has a side project like myself is that for me, a podcast is completely different than what my career is, where my career is more collection management.
Yeah.
I don't always want to be a collection manager. I always wanted to be able to get to a level where I had more say in like the way collections are not managed necessarily or taken care of, but also like how collections are collected.
Yeah.
Like in terms of diversity and stuff and having more of a say. And this is just my journey to get in there, get in the room, basically. But he ever thought what would happen, or if there's a possibility that one overtakes the other completely? I know I worry about that sometimes.
It's been, one has helped the other, for sure. They help each other. I'm always aware of I don't know, conflicts here and there that may pop up. But I think that's not something that I figured out yet. I know that I want to grow the blog. I want to grow the social media aspect. How far that goes, I'm not sure. I guess time will tell. The audience will let me know whether they continue enjoying what I'm writing, what I'm posting, or, you know, if they're done with me. But, you know, I would like it to get to a point. Ideally, I would like it to get to a point where it could stand on its own, where it doesn't need me anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Boy, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be a little hard for the podcast without me. But
yeah.
Although I wouldn't mind handing it over to somebody that can interview better than me.
Nah.
But who knows? Nah. All right. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much for meeting with me. And like, and I'm so happy that I was able to like make it out or be in the same city that you are in to do this.
Thanks for this opportunity to talk about what I do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm glad and I can't wait to share it. Because, you know, most of the people I interview are Bay Area people or California people, but my long-term goal has been to like interview people outside of the West Coast, and so I'm glad that I'm able to like. I think you're my very first East Coast guest, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So hopefully that will help like get people to like everyone on the West Coast get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then the work that you're doing, like career-wise, with the National Portrait Gallery and like with the blog and the Instagram account.
Yeah.
But thanks, and I appreciate it. And maybe one day we'll like meet up again, be in the same city, and I can have you on, and we could talk about like something more about the field that you're in.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Cool. Thanks.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and thanks again to Karen for coming on to the podcast. Be sure to visit her blog at latinamuseums.com. You can also visit her Instagram project at Latinx Curated to see all of the Latinx artists and museum professionals that she features. Lastly, if you like listening to the podcast and you want to listen to more episodes, be sure to visit the podcast website at artteampc.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at artteampc. Till next time, everyone.